I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 3rd, 2026. I just want to start where I left off yesterday. I made a second video where I responded to a comment. The comment could have been written by anybody. Could have been written by AI. Could have been written by the fairy godmother. I have no idea. But it does sum up an overwhelming Eastern mentality. And I just want to say, I know there's millions, I mean millions of people that are stranded in the East who have real conservative values, who want to get back to our roots, who understand the problems with Confederation and would like to fix it. But you're outnumbered by everybody else, and that's what I'm speaking to. You are refugees waiting to happen in Western Canada where your values would find much better service. And I know from my experience, before 2019 happened, before I ran in the federal election, there was the 2017 leadership run for the Conservative Party of Canada. And that was my first real taste of going to conventions and going to events and meeting some of the people that are guiding conservative politics. Back then, you might remember, it wasn't long after the founding of something called LGBT Tory, which brought sodomy and the Rainbow Brigade into the Conservative Party of Canada and into the PC Party of Ontario. And I got to meet some of those characters. You would not believe how many progressive radicals are actually involved in Conservative Party politics. I met them. I talked to them. I've talked to other people, like-minded people, who share some of the bizarre encounters that they've had at these conservative, so-called conservative events. You would not believe how many aides, how many people that are close to your MPs are part of the Rainbow Brigade that believes the government can fix and solve all problems. And that true help comes from government, not from your bootstraps and not from doing things yourself, but from appealing to the state for another government program. And so I want it to be very clear. Western Canada gives the Conservative Party its base. Western Canada has the MPs. Western Canada has the millions of votes. Western Canada funds the Conservative Party. And as soon as the Conservative Party has your loyalty, has your money, has everything that you have, they go east of Manitoba, and then they appeal to these progressives. They become the PC Party. They get watered down. Pierre Poilievre, one of the strongest champions, one of the greatest debaters, the apple-eating Pierre, becomes talking point Pierre. Instead of leaving his glasses on and staying authentic and the same as he's been his entire political career, they put him in contacts, they give him a haircut, they slick him back, and they turn him into a PR guy. A PR guy who's trying to thread the needle between actually standing for something and appealing to the progressives in the East. And some will argue, as that individual yesterday did argue, that that's necessary because if you don't do that, you can't win because the CBC will label you, or the Global News outlet will label you, or the Liberals will label you. They'll lambaste you. We have to be concerned with what the enemy thinks of us. We have to be defined by our enemy. The one thing the Conservative Party has never tried, the one thing that's never been done, is actually showing leadership on these issues and fighting for them with every ounce of attention that you can get. The leader of the opposition can call a media scrum anytime they want. And the media, the CBC, Global News, The Star, they'll be happy to show up and ask you leading questions and call you names and try and catch you in traps. And you can spend an hour or two with all the cameras focused on you, debating them and demonstrating the superiority of your ideas. There's an answer to just about every question they throw at you, but I never hear politicians try and give those answers. And that guy yesterday, whoever he was, doesn't matter. He summarizes a mindset that I've experienced myself firsthand, this weakening and watering down, this making of milk toast conservatism. It's not even conservative. It's the difference between right and wrong. It's the difference between having a national identity or a continental identity, because that's where I think we need to go. I think that's the only game in town anymore. And a globalist, socialist, progressive, rainbow-draped identity that nobody really wants. The androgynous soup of the post-national state. The diversity brigade where we have no core identity, but we take on the identities of everybody else, where we stand against cultural appropriation, while at the same time we promote cultural appropriation at the same, all while we repress the culture that built the country. What is Canada now? I think you have to ask Quebec. I think you have to ask Ontario. We like to pick on Quebec and the Maritimes, but I tell you, one of the biggest problems in this country is Ontario, because it's the linchpin, the highest population that holds the entire thing together. What is Canada? Ask them. I don't think Western Canada is Canada. Western Canada is something else entirely. And I 100% support the independence movement. And I can't believe, this is another thing, I can't believe how Eastern Canada is reacting to Western independence as though we're somehow traitors. Well, we live with a Quebec that's constantly threatening to leave the country, a Quebec that's never signed on to Confederation, that holds us all hostage, and is more than happy to take all of our money to subsidize their social programs, while they sit on vast sums of mineral wealth underneath their ground and refuse to develop it because it's a bank account. It's their savings account. When they're finally done stealing the wealth of this country, they're going to leave and they're going to keep all of those resources, and that's how they're going to build their future. They have a party in parliament dedicated to separatism. They have a provincial government, not yet. CAC is still in power, with an appropriate name. They're still in power, but it looks like it's going to be a Parti Québécois government, a separatist government, and it gets a pass. They use the notwithstanding clause to suspend the charter whenever they want, and the media says nothing. And I hate saying anything in defense of Doug Ford, but when he used the notwithstanding clause to end a strike, it was wall-to-wall coverage about how it was such an infringement and such a sacrilegious thing to do to the sacred document, the charter, even though the prime minister did the same thing when it came to the Freedom Convoy by invoking the Emergencies Act, suspending your fundamental human rights, and they supported it. But now that Alberta is flirting with this idea of separatism, and why? Why is Alberta looking to leave? It's because of the arrogance that is typified in that post that I shared yesterday. It's because the East robs the West. It's because we were set up as territories and the provinces kept some of those aspects. The whole thing is designed to make the West a cash cow for Eastern largesse. And the independence movement is just a logical symptom of being taken advantage of. So if you want to define what Canada is, just look east. Ask the Liberal Party, because that's what Canada is. And that's why Canada, in spite of the flag behind me when I film, doesn't represent me. But as long as I am forced to pay taxes to Ottawa, as long as I'm part of the systematized robbery, as long as I'm forced to live under the edicts of the Governor General and the Prime Minister, as long as I'm forced to have my money, my future money, my children's money, spent before they even get to touch it through the power of money printing and deficit spending, I'll keep the Canadian flag because I'm a subject. I'm not a citizen. But at any rate, Grok got gotted. Hillary Clinton to deliver keynote speech on dangers of foreign interference at Liberal Party of Canada National Convention in Montreal. I thought this was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious just because of the timing, and so I retweeted it. And a lot of people thought this was real. Scott Carpenter says, is this a joke? And I said, I think so, which is why I was laughing. I mean, it's a Grok summary, which means Grok got gotted. Who knows? She's certainly been involved with Liberal politics before, and that's right. Shane Anderson pipes in with Hillary Clinton to speak at 2023 Liberal National Convention in Ottawa. This is that Liberal hypocrisy that I find so objectionable, makes me sick to my stomach sometimes, that they talk about elbows up. They talk about America first. You know, I just listened to a message from somebody recorded to me, a 4-minute message from Ontario describing the nature of the advertising that is soaking the radio waves right now, talking about what are you doing? Are you keeping your prices low as a business? Are you sacrificing your financial viability in this high tax, high regulatory environment? Are you daring to make a profit? Keep your prices low because we got to buy American. And the guy I was talking to, he does delivery. And he delivers to these so-called Canadian businesses. And he's like, I know what they're buying. And they're buying nothing but Chinese crap. That's right. Buy America. I'm sorry. Buy Canadian. Protect Canada. Elbows up means embracing China and giving them our money. It doesn't work. It never works. Why would you want to be part of a communist totalitarian regime? Biting off your nose. It's incredible. At any rate, he was telling me about these ads, and these ads are blanketing the radio waves. The radio, which is owned by the same media companies that are subsidized by the federal government, they're getting money from the federal government to continue their business model because they're all going broke. They're promoting this propaganda, and it's inspiring people to go out, paint signs talking about how Carney needs us. Do you know how hypnotized the East is? Do you know how propagandized they are? The majority of the people there believe the propaganda, even in the small town I used to live in, and work in. These people think that Donald Trump and the Americans are the greatest enemy Canada has ever faced. They don't understand. They're deaf to reason that we're talking about some tariffs, a trade dispute, not even a big deal, blown completely out of proportion. And why is it blown out of proportion? So that the liberals and Doug Ford can maintain their political base. What is their political base based on? Stupidity. The absolute ignorance of millions of people. They're not trying to fix it. They're trying to maintain it. They're trying to maintain their vote share. So they make Donald Trump the big boogeyman with his New York accent and his braggadocious ways. I mean, I get sick of listening to him talk sometimes. I know he's a smart man. He could communicate a lot better, but he's making a strategic choice for his own purposes, and I'm not judging, but I do understand why it lands abrasive on Canadian ears. Canadian, back east. When I say Canadian, I mean Ottawa. Let's keep that in mind, because I don't know what the distinction is, but there's something very different about the West from the East. These are two different, distinct political identities, and we have no representation in Ottawa. Again, I'm going to repeat myself, in spite of giving the Conservative Party its political base in Parliament, giving the Conservative Party its political support, giving the Conservative Party its money, we don't have accurate representation of what our values actually mean out here. We just have this mealy-mouthed nonsense that was symbolized and typified by that comment. At any rate, in the midst of all the elbows-up nonsense, now, admittedly, in 2023, the Canadian flag was still hate speech. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you could get pulled over and arrested because you had a Canadian flag? A guy just got arrested on Parliament Hill for waving a Canadian flag. Now, ostensibly, it was because his flagpole could be used as a weapon. The flagpole was too long. I kind of get the pretext, but it's not like the days of the Canadian flag held by people who represent Western ideals isn't a form of hate speech and a cause of suspicion by the RCMP. You got to remember, they issued a report, and in that report, they identified patriotism as a symptom of radicalism. And then all of a sudden, Trump came along the second time, and the Canadian flag's been rehabilitated. It's been dusted off, and now our politicians are draping themselves, and Mark Carney is draping himself in the Canadian flag as if he didn't spend his life, he didn't build his life in New York, as if he didn't build his life on American businesses and banking institutions, as if he's not a central banker, as if he doesn't even wear the Canadian flag. He wears the Order of Canada, which tells you he's working for the Crown and not for you. They want to drape themselves in the flag. And at the same time, Hillary Clinton to speak at 2023 Liberal National Convention in Ottawa. They talk about foreign interference. They talk about American influence. But the Liberals they have no qualms about embracing the right Americans. They have no qualms about cooperating with the Democrats to undermine Republican governance. Doug Ford has no problem running ads, which could be construed as foreign interference, to try and sour the American voter on the tariff policies of the Trump administration. Is that not foreign interference? You see, this is what Canada does. We're kind of the worst. We do to the world what we get offended about when it's done to us. And it started right with tariffs. We charge the world. We've got all these quota systems to protect our cartels. We charge tariffs if you go beyond those quotas. It's very expensive to do business in Canada. And then you have a premier in Doug Ford. If you decide to make a business adjustment for the viability of your business, talking about Diageo now, he'll threaten to deny you market access You're not allowed to do what you need to do with your capital in Canada. It's a prison. That's why nobody wants to put money in this country. People are quietly pulling their money out. 120,000 Canadians left Canada with their money in 2025 because they're scared. They're quietly exiting. People are leaving. Businesses leaving because this is one of the scariest jurisdictions in the world. And I don't care how many publicly funded study groups come along and put us at the top of a freedom list. It's nonsense. I want to talk about Saskatchewan for a minute because we're going to tie this back into the bigger picture once we get back up. We're going to go down to the base. SAS power rate hikes come into effect. Here's what it means for you. Now, I don't want to focus on the rate hike too much. It's 3.9% they're talking about in 26. It already came into effect the first phase. And then 3.9% in 2027. And of course, the NDP is up in the arm. The provincial NDP also criticized the rate hike, calling for it to be scrapped. The CFIB, the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, said it was a bad idea too. And I am not sure what a utility provider or a business is supposed to do. You want them to hold pat? You want the government to subsidize the rate price, which would just incur the cost on behalf of the taxpayer? We live in an inflationary environment. The CPI, the inflation numbers that come out of not just the Americans, but out of Canada, are skewed to the downside. We have food inflation at 33%. Now, food inflation goes all the way up the chain in terms of inflation and increasing the cost of any business. It's all linked together. And in that environment, things start to cost more money. Now, I am not happy about this, believe me. I've got electric heat. Now, it's in floor heat. It's very efficient. I use a wood stove to try and subsidize it. But man, the bills hurt in the wintertime. It gets down to minus 40 at night here, folks. It's not exactly easy. My walls are 10 inches thick. I wish they were 15 feet thick. But I can't complain about this because I understand it. I understand inflation. I understand how money works. I understand when the federal government is running a $100 billion deficit at a time when the economy is supposedly strong. That's what they tell us. They tell us the Canadian economy has strength. We're creating jobs. We're growing the GDP. It's all government spending. It's all part-time jobs. It's all TFWs. It's all nonsense. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's fake. Canadian economy's trash. But back to the point. Concerns over the increase were also raised by the province's farming community. I get it. I get the increased costs. But the real problem is inflation. And the other problem is this. This is the Thor Group. This is going on not far from where I live. This is my neck of the woods. And this is in Tisdale, where they have found a huge amount of alumina resource. Now, it's not new, but what is new is they've drilled 157 holes, 20,000 hours of engineering, and they just released their preliminary technical, I think it's the technical study is what it's called. The technical report is what it's called, from the Thor Project in Tisdale, Saskatchewan. This is potentially a rewiring, not only of Saskatchewan economics, but the integrity of North America. And now the premier has come out and rightly identified the fact that this is all about North America. This is about securing supply chains for the entire continent. You need to understand that Saskatchewan and Alberta cannot prosper without the United States. We do business north-south here. And for some reason, we've got nothing but federalists. We're tripping over federalists everywhere we look in politics. These people who are dedicated to Canada. I don't know why. Canada from the east. I don't know why. They've been standing in our way this entire time, and there's no changing it. You're not going to change the mindset, the dominant mindsets. Again, I recognize the millions that are drowning under the mindset. You're not going to change the mindset of everything east of Manitoba. You're not going to do it. At any rate, in a real country that cared about wealth, we'd be trying to develop this. We'd be trying to get this to market because it's huge. It would add 10 to 15% to the GDP of Saskatchewan, already a powerhouse, punching way above its weight. That's why we get nothing in equalization, because our economic activity is better than most other places in the country, in spite of what you might hear about poor, depressed Saskatchewan. Now, admittedly, there's some places that are stagnant, But the province as a whole is a resource powerhouse. And, you know, you would want to see it do more business within North America. I have problems with uranium going to China. They're going to get it somewhere. But I want to make sure we're getting a fair deal. But I'm getting off topic. This is a big deal. And one of the biggest, when I posted about this on X, so much cynicism came pouring into the comments section. I found it quite shocking. Let's see if I can find some of the cynicism here. Not shocking. It's not a surprise at all. It's depressing. Here's the post. This Illumina discovery near Tisdale, Saskatchewan should be much bigger news. $9 billion a year in gross revenue. That's 10 to 15% of provincial GDP being injected into just the Northeast. The Northeast is stagnant. This would propel it to be one of the most economically viable regions in the province. It would be huge for everybody. That's 10 to 15% of provincial GDP, 4 to 5,000 jobs in the construction phase, and 1 to 2,000 permanent jobs in production, long-term production, where fathers and sons could work their careers at the exact same business. But Arno, excellent. It's like everything else these days, all announcements, but no actual project execution. We already saw $670 billion in lost opportunities. So what's the actual probability here? Billions lost in ditched resource projects. Quick, sell it to China. I can't argue with it because this is Canada. And I don't need to go through every single post. But people have no hope anymore in this country. They see the potential for wealth underneath their feet, economic growth and activity. And they know the government's going to ruin it. That the federal government's going to come along and get in the way of it as much as possible because we're not a serious country. We're a virtue signaling country. We talk about carbon credits and nonsense. And everybody plays the game. If you read the actual report on the project in Tisdale, they use the carbon nonsense language, that this will be a low carbon source of aluminum. And the SAS government does the same thing. I mean, I've had correspondence with the SAS government where they put pronouns in their bio. This infection, this leakage from Eastern Canada, it's everywhere. We have to abandon that. We have to abandon that language. Nobody in the world that is serious is talking about low carbon. And the fact is, you know, you want to talk about emissions in Canada, okay? You want to talk about lowering emissions and how we need to deindustrialize. And how we need to keep resources in the ground to the point where, whether it's the oil sands, whether it's alumina, whether it's any other resource project, everybody's first instinct is like, yeah, the government won't let it happen. What kind of government, what kind of country is built around a principle of not developing their resources and not wanting to make their people prosperous, empowering people? We're not a real nation. And at the same time, we're rejecting the United States. We have to get away from them, we're told. It's a big panic. Trump's a bad guy. And America, did you know, didn't exist before Trump and won't exist after Trump. Our relationship doesn't go back. And by the way, Trump is responsible for every single problem Canada's ever had. The radio's telling you that. We're supposed to embrace China. And on screen, you can see. These are annual CO2 emissions. And look at China. Have you ever seen a parabola? Like if you saw that on a chart, I mean, if you got in under 2 billion tons, you're doing amazing. And you can see Canada's a flat line. And then if you account for our carbon sinks, we're just a non-factor in this debate. But we're supposed to embrace China. All the elbows up businesses are buying cheap Chinese junk to resell, calling themselves Canadian businesses, but the stock on their shelves comes from China. That's what we're talking about here. Like, so much of the virtue signaling that went on in the early days of Elbows Up, whether it was Coffee Crisp, a so-called Canadian brand owned by a Swiss company, Diageo, owned by the British, Crown Royal, it's not even Canadian. It's not even Canadian. French's, I think it was French's ketchup or French's mustard. Buy French's, it's Canadian. No, it's not. It's owned by an American conglomerate. Because under the Conservatives and under the Liberals, both out of Ottawa, the federal government and many provincial governments have overseen the deindustrialization of Canada. We don't make anything anymore. We generate raw resources when we're allowed to, and we ship them to China. 70% of our gold output goes to China. so that they can build their reserves and launch. They just came out this week. I should probably show it on screen. It doesn't matter. They just came out this week and said they're aiming to become a reserve currency. Not necessarily, they use the word global reserve currency, but I think the world that we're coming into is going to see regional currencies with an international settlement layer. We're not going to have one single global reserve currency. I don't think. I think that's where we're going. But we're told we have to get in bed with China because it's the right thing to do. But China is generating the majority of the world's CO2. And we don't talk about that. Also, another piece of hypocrisy that really sticks in my craw, and I don't even think I've talked about it, is we're told that we have to spend, Canadians already have spent more per capita funding the Ukrainian massacre than any other nation on earth. We've denuded our own military. We have borrowed money against our children so that we can ship it over there to kill off the sons and fathers because the draft. I've showed on videos before, vans going around the cities and just kidnapping people off the streets to ship them off to the front. The draft age is something like, I believe it's 22 to 45. So you're picking up fathers and sons and you're shipping them off into a war that they can't possibly hope to win. I've been monitoring the daily gains and losses for both sides every day now. Every single day I monitor it. Going back at least 2 months since I decided to implement this regime of watching these numbers, there's not a single day where Ukraine takes territory in excess of what the Russians take. They're losing. They've lost. It's over. The only thing we can do now is stop the killing. But Canada, we just underwrote another $2.5 billion in Zelensky's loans so he can blow it up his nose. And they can buy more golden toilets. The corruption in Ukraine, something that the Canadian media doesn't even want to tell you about, is we keep shipping money over there, sending Chrystia Freeland over there to advise Zelensky to make sure the money train keeps going. We're told we have to fight the Ukrainian war against the dreaded Russians to the last man, as though Canada isn't on the other side of the planet. But at the same time, we have China. China who's enabling Russia to survive. China, who is the strategic partner of Russia. China, who is giving Russia minerals and critical material. I should say critical material, not so much mineral. Critical material that's keeping their war effort going. China, who is providing capital. How is it we are supposed to get in bed with China, the world's greatest CO2 polluter? China, the enabler of the Russian war machine, helping Russia survive. China, as Carney identified, our chief geopolitical strategic adversary on the world stage, but because of some tariffs and some mean words that President Trump said, we have to align with our stated enemy. If it doesn't make any sense to you, it's because you have functional brain cells, at least two left that can rub together and generate a cohesive thought. Otherwise, you're an elbows-up lemming. One of these programmed automatons, largely based in the East, who has no idea what's going on in the world, has no idea of the hypocrisy of their own individual political stance, of their virtue signaling. They're online, they're talking tough, they're talking about saving Canada. This is the perdition that you would lead us into. And I thoroughly believe it is time for Western Canada, including Saskatchewan. God, I hope the Saskatchewan Party wakes up. They just got elected a year and a half ago. We're with them for a while. We don't want the NDP, but you got to have some vision, man. Saying that Carney's a good guy and we can work with him, it's not a good message, Scott. It's not. It would be so much better if we all woke up to the fact that we need a new deal for Western Canada, that this region is not served by Confederation. And even if we stayed in Canada, which I don't think is the best option, even if we stayed, the Constitution's got to go. It's got to be reworked. We shouldn't be living under a king. We shouldn't have billions of dollars forcefully extracted from our economies to keep the welfare system in Quebec and the Maritimes propped up. Let them worry about their own problems. It's not up to us. 150 years is a long enough time, don't you think? And to finish up on this concept of the East being fundamentally different from the West, I just got another message from my friend while he's driving his truck and he heard another ad on the radio. They're drumming out or bringing out every old Canadian pop culture icon that they can possibly find to stick on the radio. And you know the messages? Remember how I explained to you how these so-called Canadian businesses are just buying Chinese stuff and remarketing it to you as a Canadian? Canadian Tire is not Canadian. Tim Hortons is not Canadian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now the message is, don't buy social media ads for your business. Even though in the world that we live in, social media advertising is the advertising that works, they want you to buy traditional media because getting government money is not enough. You got to buy radio ads. You got to buy TV ads. You got to place ads in newspapers as though it's 1980. They don't want you to buy it on social media. And you know why? These stars, these icons, a lot of them who moved out of Canada and made their money in the United States, they don't want you buying social media advertising because the words that he conveyed to me were, it just pays for pools for executives in Silicon Valley in America. And that's, you know, that's not consistent with elbows up. That's not consistent with saving Canada. These hypocrites, they don't mind leaving you cold in the dark, Eastern Canada. They're sacrificing you. They're sacrificing Canada. Mark Carney is here to manage the decline of this nation to the benefit of his stock holdings, which are put in a blind trust, which isn't blind at all. We're literally, it's like being in receivership. It's like having the nation parsed out. And there's a lot of really thick-skulled people out there who actually think this is what saving a nation looks like. And this is why this nation doesn't represent Western Canada anymore. And it hasn't for a long time, but I think people are really starting to wake up to it. And give yourself a bit of a shake if you think that makes me a traitor for saying so, because you've been living in the shadow of Quebec this entire time with very little to say about it. You know, they would have done us a favor in 1995 if the referendum had passed and Quebec had separated. It probably would have saved us a bunch of time. We wouldn't be here right now. Maybe things would be different. Maybe we'd be rich and prosperous. Maybe we all could have went on in our separate directions in Ontario and Ottawa could have just continued living their socialist pipe dream. And I know there's going to be somebody in the comments inevitably that says, you know, you've only been here for 4 years, you know, like you're not actually a Westerner, you know, you're such a turncoat. When I lived in Ontario, all the many years I lived in Ontario, at least a decade and a half that my political interests were really peaked, I recognized the criminal enterprise that is the system of Canada. I recognized the crime that is equalization. I recognized that Western Canada is underrepresented and nobody wants to fix it. That's the other thing. The Eastern mind, speaking in general, not of everyone, the Eastern mind, particularly the Eastern mind that concerns me, the Eastern mind that's involved in conservative politics, they don't want to fix the imbalance of the Senate. They don't want to fix the imbalance of the legislature. They don't want to make the governor general electable. They don't want to give Western Canada more representation. They're happy with things the way they are, with Ontario and Quebec ruling on behalf of the king and all the rest of us being subject lands. Now, the Maritimes, they might be happy with their subservience. Again, in general, not everybody. They might be happy with the welfare payments. But Western Canada is not happy paying. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.